Just, I mean, if you keep your mind on the news alone, I'm talking about local news, worldly news, country news, national news, most of the time you will really get discouraged because I could be wrong. You can hardly find any good news in the news. You know, sometimes they bring some documentary, you know, 4 or 5 minutes about someone who is doing something good in their community, helping the poor, helping the orphans, you know, giving back to their community. That's good news, all right? But most of the time, they bombarding you. They're blasting you with the bad news, with the dog eat dogs cutting throat kind of news. But as citizens of heaven, we should look for what God is doing. And God is working in our community. And I pray, I said, Lord, you show us what you're doing. So we would not become this four walls church, you know, those churches. They're just concerned about what's happening in these walls. But we ask God for strategies and ways for us to connect. For example, you know, we do have, last year we put a committee together. We put a committee together. We call it event planners. So, you know, people that's got ideas on how we should reach out to our community. And please, guys, let's keep doing it, you know, because I don't have those ideas. Me, you give me a bunch of people, I'll shepherd them. See, I know my gifting, I know what I can do, but I also know what I can't do. But also, you bring an idea to me or you running with it, listen, I'll be win in your cell. I'll support you, man. I'll be for your first disciple. Let's do it. So I say this to say, you know, if you have ideas on how to reach out to our community, please, we will value it. We want to hear it. At the same time, keep searching and looking for what God is doing in our world. Acts chapter 3. Open your Bibles. Acts chapter 3. The first clash with Judaism. I'm still in the kind of same subject, the fear of the Lord in the book of Acts. According, what would the fear of the Lord looks like in our daily life? Fear of the Lord. Acts chapter 3, verse 1. I'm just going to read. And then my key verse is going to be verse 19, but we'll get there. Let's just read. I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation. It says, Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. As they approached the temple, a man lame from birth was being carried in. Each day he was put beside the temple gate, the one called the Beautiful Gate, so he could beg from the people going into the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for some money. Then Peter and John looked at him intently, and Peter said, "Look at us." The lame man looked at them eagerly, expecting some money. But Peter said, "I don't have any silver or gold for you, but I will give you what I have. In the name of Jesus, the Nazarene, get up and walk." See, now right there, Peter didn't just say get up and walk and leave him. Verse 7. It says, then Peter took the lame man by the right hand and helped him up. As he did, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed and strengthened. Right there, there's a principle we see here. Not only Peter had faith, but also he acted on it. Okay? While I was reading this, I thought, I wonder how many times Father God asks us to do something or say something, You have the faith. You have the faith to do it. But then to act on it, you never did. So therefore, you never see the result. Seriously, when I read this, I said, okay, God, you do this to me. Please, Lord, you keep me sensitive, especially. You know, have you ever been at the store? You feel like the Lord wants you to listen to somebody or tell him such a thing. And in your mind, you know your spirit, you know God wants you to say whatever word of encouragement to this person. But you think, or your mind says, maybe they won't receive it. Or maybe they won't receive it. I don't want to offend them. Then what happened? God doesn't move. Okay? So that's what we see what happened to Peter here. He said, I don't have any silver nor gold, but what I have to give you, get up in the name of Jesus and grab him by the right hand, picked him up. Right away, verse 8, he jumped, stood on his feet, began to walk. Then walking, can you imagine? Couldn't walk. And we have the right to assume that man was at the beautiful gate when Jesus passed to get into the temple. Jesus couldn't heal. He didn't. Jesus can heal everybody. But he didn't heal a lot of people. He healed a lot of people, but also there's a lot of other people that didn't get healed. But here, this guy, can you imagine? Right there, jumped, stood on his feet, began to walk, then walking, leaping, what? Can you imagine this? Praising God, walking, leaping. This guy who never walked his life, and all of a sudden, he's able to walk. And he's not just walking. I mean, he's just like a kid experiencing the power, divine power of healing of God. And then he went into the temple with them, Peter and John. Verse 9, all the people saw him walking and heard him, what? Praising God. When they realized he was the lame beggar they had seen so often at the beautiful. And see now right there, they label the guy as a beggar, as someone who just begging all the time. Well, his position, he was very in a position that needed help. He couldn't walk, he couldn't move around. The Bible says right here, people would bring him so he could beg and ask for crumbs or money. Verse 11. The rest of verse 10, when they realized that he was a beggar, they had seen so often, they were absolutely astounded. Oh my goodness! I can't believe it! This is something I see here in this verse. Have you encountered the divine touch of Christ strong enough so people in your life, people that used to know you, are able to say, oh my goodness. Man, I used to think you were a lost case. This, I tied this verse with 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 5:17, we all know it. What does it say? If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation, the old is gone, it's all new stuff. So therefore, when you encounter the divine power of God, guys, I'm telling you, you can't remain the same. That's why I don't get it. I mean, I kind of get it, but I understand it. If you say you encounter Jesus and you are a genuine believer, your life should change from glory to glory. You shouldn't go like from, oh, I used to be on fire for Jesus. I am more on fire for Jesus than 3 years ago. I'm actually more on fire for Jesus than January.
can tell you, I am actually more in love with Jesus than last week. And I pray the same thing for you. I said, there's nothing that's going to bring me down. I said, okay, I understand this is tough business. But I'm not going to be like every other pastors. I'm going to be like a son of God. I'm going to love Jesus. I'm going to love you. God, trust you, your life under my care as a shepherd. I'm going to love you. I'm not going to hit the rock. I'm not going to get frustrated with you. I will tell you the truth. I'm not here for you to love me. You know, I hope you do. I say all this to say what? People label them. I wonder what people think about you now. I wonder people who knows, used to know you. I wonder what they think about you now. This is a serious question, brothers and sisters. I wonder what your sister, your neighbor, your children. And I want to see the same thing because we're doing life together. I want to see in your life that you are growing from glory to glory. You challenge me, I'm challenging you. Because if anyone is in Christ, that person becomes a new creation. This verse accomplished in the beggar's life. I like this word, beggar. Beggar. It's a beggar. 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 Beggar, beggar, beggar. I tell you, you go home, one thing you'll remember, beggar, 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 beggar. You'll never forget that one. Oh, my Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your word. And all the people saw him walking and heard him praising God. Don't let the rock cry out. You cry out the change God has done in your life. You cry out, you testify what God has done in your life. And then when they realize, when people realize you're still the same, you still look the same, but you don't act the same anymore. You're still the same, but you don't talk the same anymore. Now, you're not religious. You know, because religious makes us stiff. Religion creates no room to accept people where they're at. That's why religion used to make us think, you must change your life before you come to Christ. I remember when I was growing up, that was the year I went to the ministry school. I was 18. That was a long time ago. There's a lady. She was a prostitute. At that time, in our culture, as a matter of fact, I remember the first time someone explained to me who a prostitute was in our culture. Like a lady that wear pants. And then those ladies, they would shave their hair. Nice haircut, by the way. All right? So the ladies would shave their hair. I'm like, really? Yeah, they say that's how you can notice a prostitute. I said, okay. So then this lady, she was a prostitute. Saturday night, you know, she was out on the street just going crazy. And then apparently Sunday morning, early Sunday morning, she just felt like she was broken. She was done. She's like, you know what, just crying out. She's like, I can't anymore. And then somehow in her mind, she thought, well, then I'm going to go to church. Praise God, right? But remember, she dressed and looked like a prostitute. And you know what the Pharisees did at that church? She's coming in church. She had a white pants on. She's coming in church, walking in. The Pharisees, there was two Pharisees, ushers out there in front of the door. And they stopped. They said, where are you going? Where are you going like that? You know, the Pharisees, they have a way to talk. It's like, where you going, you evil one, you sinner? Where you going in the temple, in the holy temple of God?
they turned her away. I never know what happened to that lady. Actually, how did I know the story? I don't remember how I heard about the story. But I believe that she ended up finding Jesus somehow. And then actually, yeah, she was giving her testimony. Can you imagine how many souls, how many people religion has closed, shut the door on? You can't come in because you look like this, you look like that. You can't come in because you did this, you did that. And then we put ourselves on this pedestal thinking, oh, guess what? I'm a man of God, and who you are? Lord, have mercy. Father, have mercy. Because people out there, and I'm going to tell you this again, God called us to judge each other. And I tell you, the word judge means here keeping each other accountable. Because even God right now is not judging anyone. This is the good news. Judgment will come. Judgment is coming. But God's not judging anybody. It is God's love. People need to understand God loves them so much that he would still give everything. He's the only one that goes and says, what? There's no shadow you won't light up. There's no mountain, no place is too deep. He won't go after you. People in the world need to understand that. And you need to live your Christian life every day with this in front of you. There's nothing I've done. There's nothing I can do that can separate me from the love of God. But also, this same revelation will keep you in the reverence, fear of God. Because you understand God and sin doesn't go together. You see, understanding grace, when you understand grace, you come to realize, well, God is a holy God. He's a holy fire. I can't be in sin and continue to pretend or asking God for his blessing. I gave you guys a story a couple of weeks ago. Maybe you remember it. This couple that came to a service, and then they went to the prophet and asked the prophet to bless. They wanted to start a business or whatever. And they said, well, you know what, prophet, won't you come in and won't you bless me? You know those people who always want prophets to bless them, pastors to pray for them? And then the prophet received a word of wisdom asking them. It says, well, can God bless sin? God can't bless sin, can't not bless sin. Everyone out there is created, we're created by God. But not everyone is a child of God. The only way for you to become a child of God is to believe that Jesus is Lord. God raised him from the dead. Believe in your heart. Confess with your mouth. Turn away from your sin. Repent. And then you live a life surrender to his will. It's not just confessing Jesus as your Savior. And then is Jesus your Lord? You remember what I told you last week? The word Lord means you're not on the driver's seat. Jesus is on the driver's seat. You let him drive. You let him lead you. And I tell you, the more I'm growing in my walk with the Lord, I realize, man, there's such a peace. Oh, there's such a peace. The more I surrender my life to Jesus, I realize, man, that's, wow, how can people live without Jesus? There was a time in my life when I used to be like a carnal Christian, you know, those people, you know, it's like you live more by the flesh than the spirit. And then I thought Christian was stiff-necked, you know, I thought being a Christian was the worst thing ever. I tell you, being a follower of Jesus is the most freeing thing you can be, you can do. You know? Yes. Because I'm master of nobody. Not even this body. Jesus gave me the willpower to choose. Through the Holy Spirit, you become a powerful person. You know, the NE6 talks about that a powerful person is somebody who sees no need to control people. Oh, I don't have to control anybody. Why? Because my true identity is in Jesus. I don't have to yell. I don't have to make anybody feel bad. Why? Because my identity is in Christ. I know who I am, you know. Then if we do in life, if you have better talents than me, well, that's awesome. Well, go for it, man. That's awesome. I'm going to follow you. Now that's the work of the Holy Spirit. Verse 11. They rushed out in amazement to Solomon's colonnade, where the man was holding tightly to Peter and John. Peter saw his opportunity. I like this. Now you remember how Peter used to be? Impulsive, wild. I mean, he thought he couldn't deny Jesus. But there it is, twice, three times already, Peter addressed the crowd. Verse 12, Peter saw his opportunity. I like this. Have you been able to seize your opportunities? Now remember, once again, religion makes us think we always have to preach to people. You know, if like at your job, you always want to tell people, you know, what would Jesus do? You know those zealots people who always want to talk about Jesus, let people know, hey, Jesus loves you, which is good. You know, hey, Jesus loves you. You know, you must repent. You must do this. And then they take like a smoke break. They got done talking about Jesus this, Jesus that. They're taking drugs. Let's not do that. Have you taken advantage of your opportunities, or have your lifestyle aborted the opportunities God has given you? You know, there are people who call themselves followers of Christ are missing many opportunities to preach the gospel. Why? There's nothing like having a testimony. The best way to preach the gospel is having a testimony. As a matter of fact, your testimony gives you authority. Because when I sing, and I know, yes, I know, Jesus, I'm not just singing a pretty song. I was having an encounter with the Lord the other day, Monday or Tuesday. And then I can't remember which verse, and I thought, man, I listened to the ghetto band and stuff. I love their style of music. And I remember that song. And I know, a testimony, and I know, man, Jesus' blood. Because when I look at my life and I realize, man, if it wasn't for the blood, what would I be? Where would I be? What would I do? I listen to that. I put it on repeat. And I know, yes, I know, Jesus' blood can wash the vilest. I just translated that song for you in Creole. It says, and I know, they changed the rhythm a little bit. I used to sing that song in Creole. So it's one of my favorite songs. Testimony, what is your testimony? Brothers and sisters, listen to me. If you have sin in your life, if you have things that are holding you down, so you're constantly losing the opportunity to speak for Christ, repent today. Because Jesus wants you to live a life free, 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 free. It says Peter saw his opportunity to address the crowd. He said, people of Israel, what is so surprising about this? And why stare at us as though we had made this man walk by our own power and godliness? I like this. There's two words right there you can underline in your Bibles. Power and godliness. He says, why are you so surprised? Why are you looking at us like it is my own godliness? There's nothing your godliness can make happen in God. My godliness cannot heal people. I don't know if any of us ever dealt with this when you're like, man, God, why don't you ever heal so-and-so? And yeah, well, Lord, I pray, I believe. I don't know for you, but me, I think about that stuff. Lord, I pray. And then once again, when I read the Bible, I realize people don't get healed in my name. Who heals them? Jesus. So what is my responsibility? What is your responsibility? Your responsibility, my responsibility is to believe and to still pray. Are you with me?
That's it. Peter said it here. 4, verse 13, for it is God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of all our ancestors, who has brought glory to his servant Jesus by doing this. This is the same Jesus whom you handed over and rejected before Pilate. Despite Pilate's decision to release him, you rejected this holy, righteous one and instead demanded to release the release of a murderer. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. And we are the witness of this fact. Through faith in the name of Jesus, this man was healed. And you know how crippled he was before. Faith in Jesus' name has healed him before your very eyes. Friends, I realize that you and your leaders did it in ignorance. There's a verse in the Bible that talks about God does not interpretation. God does not pay attention to your time of ignorance. The things you don't know, you didn't know it. That's why your past is your past. There's a song that goes like this. It says, I don't have time to maintain these regrets when I think about the way you love. So there's no time to maintain your past. Oh, I used to be this. That's why I believe in what they call a soul cure, you know, like deep deliverance ministry and stuff. But unless the Lord is pointing his fingers on something in your past is gone. Your past is your past. If you are in Jesus, when your past come to haunt you, you know what to do? Or you're like, who are you looking for? You don't have to fight with those thoughts. Oh, you used to be this, you used to be that. And the same thing, let us not keeping people's past against them. Let's release people. Let us not release. I tell you, in the church, we are good at that, to remind people. I remember you. You know, those Pharisees' voice, you know, I remember how you used to be. This is not the thoughts of God. You remind them who they are in Christ. You don't remind them who they were. That's the attitude we must have and we must keep. And even as we move and we do life with unbelievers, God sees them from the place they're at. I don't know if that makes sense. It's like God sees them more than they are. You know, you speak identity. Just like Peter took the hand of this guy, he lifts them up. Lift people up. Don't bring people down. Lift them up. Speak identity. You know, speak by faith. They're not losers. You might see a loser, but you know what? Speak against that spirit of loser. Speak against it. Speak against it. Friends, I realize you are in ignorance. Gratitudes. There's a verse in the New Testament. You don't have to go there, but I'm going to read for you. It says, I thank Jesus, our Lord, who has given me strength to do his work. He considered me trustworthy and appointed me to serve him. Even though Paul's talking about, he's like, even though I used to blaspheme the name of Christ. Oh, in my isolates, I persecuted his people. Can you imagine, Paul? Guys, can you imagine? This guy killed people. He thought he was serving God. Paul killed a bunch of people. He actually went to the authorities saying, you know what, guys? I am going to destroy this movement called the Way. He asked the Pharisees for authorization. And he got on his high horses. He's going, what, to Damascus. But on the way there, what happened? Jesus knocked him down on his horse. I said, Lord, please don't let me do anything stupid. Knock me down on my horse if you see I'm on my way to stupid. If I am on my way to stupid, to destroy myself. Please, Lord, let me encounter you on the way. Because that's a dangerous place to be. Can you hear me, guys? Can I have a witness? That's my prayer, and I pray this for you. There's a lot of people that needs this encounter with the Lord. And Paul said, you know what? God knows I was in ignorance. I love that. And how gracious, generous our Lord was. He filled me with faith and love that comes from Jesus. I persecuted his people, but God has mercy on me because I did it in ignorance. So whatever you did in ignorance, let it go. See, now you're not ignorant anymore. That's why you listen to the truth. The truth applied will set you free. The truth I'm telling you, the truth you read in the Bible, you live by it. How am I living a life free with Christ? I apply the word on every situation in my life. And you know what it does? It kills me. Oh, kills my ego, kills my pride. It kills Ricardo. Oh, man, sometimes I want to come alive. I want to come alive. I want to live for Ricardo. And then I encounter the Holy Spirit. Ricardo is like, no. Jesus is like, you can't do it. Help. Why? Because when I live for Ricardo, I die. But when I live for the Spirit, guess what? I come alive. I come alive. Ignorance, your time of ignorance, don't take it. That's what Peter is saying here. God was fulfilling what all the prophets had foretold about the Messiah, that he must suffer these things. And then this is my key verse. And that's where I'm going to stop too. It says, now repent of your sin, turn to God so that your sins may be wiped away. Verse 20. Then times of refreshment. Underline that in your Bibles. Refreshment. Oh, refreshment. I sent you guys an email a couple weeks ago. It talks about refreshment. It says, come to God, number one. Number two, refreshment will come from where? From the Lord's presence. Stop right there. Refreshment. You all know what refreshment is. Feeling refreshed. When you're exhausted, you go and you take a nap. And you wake up, you say, I feel refreshed. You feel like, yeah. Have you ever felt like this in the Lord? Jesus, church. Church, pay attention. Go back and listen to that sermon again. Pay attention. Pay attention when you're losing your fire for the things of God. Pay attention when prayer becomes a burden. Pay attention when coming together with fellow believers is a burden. Pay attention. Should cry out. Pay attention when reading your Bible becomes a chore. Pay attention when coming to church is a burden. But it says, then time of refreshment will come where? In the presence of the Lord. But I want also to acknowledge that the presence of the Lord is not just in this place. When we are gone, the presence of the Lord is not here. When we come together, the presence of the Lord here. When I come into the building every week, whatever I do here, the presence of the Lord comes. God comes with me, he goes. It's not like I go and I leave the presence of. That's the Old Testament thing. In the Old Testament, the presence of the Lord dwell in the Holy of Holies. And before you get to the Holy of Holies, you had the outer court, inner court, and then the Holy of Holies. And in the Holy of Holies, where the Holy Spirit, the presence of the Lord was, there was only one priest, one dude, chosen by God, who was allowed to go once a year with everybody's sin and his own sin in the Holy of Holies, in the presence of the Lord, to offer a sacrifice with a rope tied in his waist. Because if he's thinking he's fooling everybody, you know those guys, they think they can fool God. They think, well, I'm fooling everybody. Kendra read to me the other day, I said, Lord, have mercy. There's this guy on the news, a preacher, God have mercy. He was selling drugs with his son at the church. A pastor and his son. He was dealing drugs. Others were going to prostitutes. That's why I said, Lord, we pray for the leaders, we pray for the pastors, pray for them. Knock them down on their horse if they're on the way to stupid. Not only that breaks their life, but it breaks the testimony. It brings shame to the name of God. It brings shame to the church. But when we hear stuff like that, we don't spread it. But of course, we go on our knees and we intercede for people like that. We intercede for such church. Times of refreshment will come from the presence of the Lord. Thank God for Jesus. Jesus on the cross before he gave his last breath, he said, it is finished. It is finished. And if you and I remember what happened, it says, that big, thick, 4-inch thick curtain that separated people from entering to the presence of the Lord was torn top to bottom. Then God made a bold statement saying, No more. Everybody now have access to my presence. Because when you have access to the presence of God, you will be refreshed. That's my charge for you every day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sundays. Drink from the presence. Drink. Then when you meet me, I'll find you refreshed. When you find me refreshed, I'll find you refreshed. Guess what? Two refreshed people come together. That's a refreshment right there. But if I'm the only one drinking, and you're all not drinking, when you come together, you really wait on me. But am I making sense? You see, back in the days, religion make us think, well, you come to church, so the priests go to God and tell you what God's telling you, and then you walk out there and you live your life for yourself. It doesn't work like that. Jesus came so you can experience the fullness of the Holy Spirit on a daily basis. Because the world needs us. The world needs Jesus. Jesus is the only hope. And that's what Peter is saying here. He says, now repent of your sins and turn to God so your sins may be wiped away. Then times of refreshment will come from the presence of God. And he will again send you Jesus, your appointed Messiah. And I like this. It says, Jesus, your appointed Messiah. Jesus is your appointed Messiah. So as you go forth from here, this is my charge for you. If you have ear, if you have ears to listen, you pay attention. You hear, you listen. And you take to heart what God is saying to you. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word this morning. Lord, we accept your word. Your word is the truth that we need to save us. And I don't know where you need to answer to God this morning. I'll ask Alyssa to come just play for me for a minute. But Lord, we just surrender our hearts before you this morning. Do you need refreshing? Do you need to feel refreshed this morning? If you do, I just want to give you time to respond to God's word this morning. And there's no judgment at the altar. There's salvation at the altar. What would be your response this morning? what would it be? Thank you, Lord.